Blog Talk Radio.
We gon' start this thing off right. Duval in the money logging out. Come on, now come on. Do it, baby.
I'm living my best life.
Production, and we're so excited on our parent company with the Smith Way Production. We just look forward to having a fabulous Friday, and it is Friday. I know everybody ready for the weekend, ready to have some fun. So I want you to do the best you can, but be safe. Be very safe over this weekend because we have a lot going on. I want you to be able to be back with us on Monday, which is our show on Monday, which is Talking Real to You. We come at you at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we just want you to be a part of that, and we just talk about just plain old life issues. But today's show is biggest focus going to be on just looking at some expertise and looking at some wisdom and insightful thoughts about the hottest topics or hottest sports topics of the week. So we're so excited because you can call in and be a part of this show. The call-in number for this show is 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Now, I'll ask if you call in on the call-in number. You can just listen to the show. But if you have something you want to say, you got a comment, or you got a question, I'm going to ask you to please mute your phone to eliminate that extra noise that we might be picking up because we are live. So we want to make sure to do it. So if you press 1, and then we'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then we'll ask you to identify who you are and your location. Then give us your comment, give us your question. Whatever you have, we want you to be a part of it, so make sure you do. As I mentioned on the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Way Production. Now, you cannot respond to more than email or tweet us and so on that. You can just listen to the show on the Blog Talk Radio. Now, I understand we're coming out of New York, and we're so proud to have an opportunity just to share this vehicle with you. Now, we are operating not just with this vehicle, Blog Talk Radio, but we also have Facebook. Now, if you're a friend of me on Facebook, you can be a part of this as well. I'm looking at people slowly come in on Facebook, and I do appreciate you joining me through Facebook. Now, it's drldialbertosmith@facebook.com, or you go to Instagram and you just go to Lorenza D. Smith. So, again, we're really excited. We're happy. It's Friday. It's Fabulous Friday. We got some hot topics we're going to talk about in about 3 or 4 minutes. But before we do, we have to do our normal house duties and the housekeeping things. We have to make sure we share all the ways you can contact us. Now, you can tweet the show. You can tweet the show @BallandDoc, that's D-O-C, @TalkingSportsPlus, with the number 1. Now, if you want to hear the show later on, go back and check it out. Maybe you missed something. You just want to be able to listen to it. And you go to on-demand episodes, and we can be heard on LinkedIn, Google Plus, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, and Blog Talk Radio. You have so many ways. Now, we also have an opportunity. We'll go and we'll just look at some other avenues, and we try to post on every opportunity we have. So we're really excited about having this chance. Now, as we said, we're going to talk about some of the hottest sports topics that happened during the week. And we want to kind of share something. Now, Wednesday night we had our normal Talking Sports Plus show that we aired every Wednesday night, and we talked about some of these topics. So we're going to kind of follow up with what the title was, the title, Who's Bracket Busted? And that's basically if you're dealing with the NCAA tournament and the team you had selected or the teams you had selected to be in the Final Four, let me know if your bracket is busted, because a lot of our brackets are busted. So we want to make sure that we are there, and if not, we're close to the point. I'll say, well, we'll get it next year, because that's what it's all about. So we're going to first talk about a couple of topics related to the teams that thought they're going to be there. You know, everybody thought they're going to be there. We had 6-8 teams started off. Those 6-8 teams started off trying to get to this one goal, get to Minneapolis, so they'll be playing in the Final Four. Now, if your team is one of those teams part of that bracket, you had said, well, you're going to have to win the national championship, and your team is going to be sitting at home just like the rest of the other people around the team. If not my team, my team is going to be playing. I said, fortunately enough, I was able to pick the team that I thought would be in the final, but in the final, and that's Michigan State. So I picked Michigan State to be there, so we're still in it. We play tomorrow at the 8 o'clock hour, so you can join us and check out, truly, truly check out Michigan State as they play Texas Tech. All right, let's look at, as our topic said, whose bracket is busted. We're going to start off with Duke. If you had Duke, your bracket is busted. And one of the things we want to talk about, we want to know what led to failing to advance to the Final Four. We have some discussion. If you have some thoughts about it, what you can do, as I stated earlier, is you can call in 347-857-4192, and then you have an opportunity to share your thoughts by pressing the number 1, and I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to let me know who you are and where you're calling from, then comment or either ask your question. What led to Duke failing to advance in the Final Four? Now, we have a couple of things that we can look at and say the reason why. Some of the flaws that they had that individuals didn't see was important, because their focus all year was on Zion Williamson. He's the darling of the NCAA this year, 2019, and they sort of forgot about the other players. And I think that was going to be one of the things that was going to come up. You know, R.J. Barrett did an awesome job, the play writer sign, but I think other players that are part of that four got together, that four all-stars, that those high school Americans that got together and joined at Duke, Zion, you have RJ, Cam, and Trey. You had all of them joining, and they was top pick, some of the top four players in the country coming out of high school last year. So their goal was to come here, play together, be pretty much like the Fab Five, that, as well as Kentucky in 2012 when they had Anthony Davis and Gilchrist and all of those, and they was kind of loaded as well. And basically, why they failed. One of the things was, I think that one of that group of four, actually two of the group of four, did not hold up their end. And one of the ways we want to look at it, we'll call him out, Cam Reddish. Cam is 6'9", good wingspan, outstanding player, excellent three-point shooter, but he disappeared. He literally disappeared when they got to the final 16. He just disappeared. As a matter of fact, let's remember, he did not play in the game before the final eight. And whatever it may be, he disappeared. He was a cornerstone. So everybody saw that they had those shooters that could shoot the ball outside, where they had Zion Williamson inside, then they wanted to, you know, kick the ball out, but they had nobody. Trey Jones was not confident. R.J. Barrett was more of a slasher, so he was not doing the three. So Cam was that key player, but he disappeared. That was one flaw. All the talking heads and pundits talked about that all through the beginning of the year. What they talk about is that they lack three-point shooting, consistent three-point shooting. Zion would take one air nine, Barrett would take one air nine, but Cam Reddish was the one who was constantly making that shot, but he did not do it in the 16, in the round of 16, as well as in round of 8. That was one thing. I think after everybody realized that Williamson was going to basically drive hard to the basket, muscle, push you, get you out of the way, and everybody had all the other players in the other part of the country and the other teams that got to get out of the way. But some of those players stepped up. Michigan coach did an awesome job, the defensive coach, preparing them to defend Zion. They did an awesome job. They took away the drive, forced the ball to go back, took away RJ opportunity to drive the basket, and it just kind of set a tone that Duke was not able to get out. So that was number two. They dropped back in more of a zone, so they took away the drive. So you couldn't get through and just lay the ball up. Zion was shooting 68% from the field. A lot of those were dunk, layups, tip back. It was not very many 12-foot, 10-foot, 14-foot shots that he was taking. So his percentage is going to be high. The shooting percentage is going to be high when you're shooting layups or dunking the ball all the time. What you ask a big player to do, you ask all big players, when you're under the basket, go, don't go up and try to lay the ball on the glass, go hard and dunk the ball. That way you cannot be stopped. You're going to either get a foul. Most of the time you're not going to get the shot blocked. You're going to get the 2 points. You're going to get a foul, so you get 2 points and one. So that was something that Michigan saw that they had to do. Another reason. Duke had been playing all year in this tournament at the edge. They pulled out the game against Florida State. They struggled in the game Sweet 16. They struggled in the 32. They struggled in about 1 point, 2 point, and it just ran out. Then the fourth thing we say is the third, they ran out of pretty much that opportunity to win the ball game with the last second because they lost by one. They just was an experience. You cannot overlook experience. I think a lot of exciting people we're talking about, and your punters and talking heads, we're talking about, well, this is the greatest group ever. Yeah, it may be, but that experience catch up. You look at each one of the teams that are in the Final Four. You have Texas Tech. They got two grad transfers, goes along with their other juniors and seniors. That makes them a very mature. They haven't played a lot of ball, man. You average 30-some games a year, multiply times 4 years being in college, that's 120 ball games, where these players hadn't played about 30 games. That experience shows all of them. You take all of them who's in the Final Four. Auburn has a lot of juniors and a few seniors, and a few, probably mostly a junior-led team. So they got a mature team. Michigan, you know, everybody thought Michigan wouldn't be there. Michigan State, Michigan State, make sure I get that clear. Michigan State wouldn't be there, but they have a tool on that team. But Cassius Winston is a whole star. He's a leader, and he's truly, truly is the backbone of that team. So we'll say that's mature because he's been there 2 or 3 years. Then we go over here and look at Virginia. Virginia's a senior junior league team. That's mature. Each one of the teams have mature, so that's number 4. So you have 4 reasons why they failed to get to the final. So let's move on, because they'll be watching the game just like I will on Saturday at the couch, or I might be in the rec gym just like Zion Williams will on Wednesday night, slam dunking in the rec. So everybody can see it. And, you know, that's someplace he didn't need to be, but he was there. He was slam dunking. He'll be slam dunking on Saturday. But we know all the money he's expected to get, probably $100 million shoe contract he'll get from Nike. Adidas is going to throw their hand in there, try to get him to put Adidas on. But we know he's going to start. He's going to be a multi-millionaire from the start. And then the contract that he'll get as the number one player drafted will be awesome. So we said we can't take, but right now he's just like each and every one of us joining is on Facebook, Instagram, on Blog Talk Radio. We are listening, we're going to watch it, we're going to sit on the couch, and we're going to enjoy it. And we might jump around and say what we could have done, but we're not there, and we're not capable of doing it. So that's where the ball game goes. So those are the reasons why Zion is not there with Duke, not in the Final Four. They just didn't have the experience. They didn't have 3-point shooters. They could not master the zone. When they didn't practice too much for the zone, because the only team played zoned them out was Syracuse. Syracuse, Jim Boeheim, he's a master of that 2-3 zone. You know, some people say it won't work, but it will work, especially if you get athletes to get in that zone. It'll work. He hadn't been to the situation to be in a championship game in a couple of years, but the ideal is that the zone will work. I think that sometimes we put things that traditionally we used to work as far as focus on, just like I said, position is basketball now. The big question is about Zion, what exactly is Zion's position going to play? Is he going to be good at the 4? Is he going to be good at the 5? Everybody thinks he's going to be good everywhere. But when he's going against Anthony Davis, he is about 4 or 5 inches taller than you are, and just as big as you are. All those individuals, you have a challenge on your hand when you're only 6'7". Charles Barkley, round mound of rebound, that's what he was good for, round mound of rebound. But he just did not do what he needed. This is just a little too short of 6'5". And 6'7", a little bit too short to be the number 5 position, as some people say. And it's a struggle at the 4. But everybody says position is basketball. He can play anywhere. Everybody can play anywhere. Zion have decent handle, but not good enough handle to be able to top. We just don't have it. But then the rules fit for those players. So we'll keep an eye on that, so we look forward to seeing that. Surprise team in this Final Four, we're going to talk a little bit about it. Surprise team that we look at it is that Auburn is a surprise, but the most surprising team is Texas Tech. No one heard anything about them being in this kind of situation, so they'll be playing in this championship series in the Final Four. No one. They're more surprising than Auburn. Now, Auburn is there, but remember, the preseason poll projected Auburn to be 5th. So if you think about that, and they went through a low spot, and they dropped out that spot, and not there in the end, there's only 4 teams playing in the championship. And if they were preseason poll number 5, they're in one of the 4 teams. So Auburn, not a bigger surprise. They're a surprise to everybody in the – I'm going to be honest, in the state of Alabama, because, you know, football is king around here. But to have one of the teams actually make it to the Final Four, if I'm looking back at history, crawling all this dealing with history, I don't remember another team from the state of Alabama being in the Final Four in basketball. So for Auburn to do that, they're blazing the trail. We applaud them over there in Auburn, Alabama. And we say keep on grinding. You never know what will happen. And we'll talk about the 2 surprising teams. Texas Tech, the most surprising, then you have Auburn being in there. Now, everybody said, well, Virginia and Michigan. We had a discussion on the show on Wednesday night that Michigan State may be a surprise. And that said that because they lost Josh Langford and they lost Ward, they lost two of their top players, and they still managed to have on the next man pick up and then move forward. So they made it there. They're there. We're looking for them. My prediction is they win the national championship on Monday night, and we'll look and see how they go. And like I said, if your bracket is busted, you got to pick you another team. Get you one out of number four, so whenever they win, you can be a bandwagon rider. It's all right. Your team is not there because your team didn't get out of the 6-8, or they didn't get out of the 32. They didn't get out of the 16, which is the round 16. You didn't get out of the 8, and you're definitely not in the 4 if you don't have Auburn, if you don't have Texas Tech, if you don't have Virginia, and you don't have Michigan State in your bracket, it is busted. And that's what it's all about. So that's the name of the show. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about Auburn and the game that's coming up tomorrow. We have the first game coming up right about at the 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You actually have Auburn and Virginia. And one of the things, questions we had, a statement here, will Auburn advance past Virginia on Saturday? Some people say if the 3-point shooting is on, they're going to be in awesome shape. But Virginia had a sense in their idea of controlling the tempo. When they control the tempo, that kind of takes away, and they expand the defense as far as they can to make you take even farther 3 points. And most of the time, one thing I always tell, not all the time, but most of the time, I always told my players when I coach, is that when you take a three and you miss, it's going to be a long rebound. And a long rebound, if we don't get it, results in the other team having a fast break. So that can happen. Fortunately enough, in this last game with Auburn played, Kentucky, a couple of those long rebounds Kentucky should have had. They didn't have, so they ended up falling short. All they were able to get another possession of the ball. It kind of took away from the clock as well. So you can kind of see three-pointers, a lot of people say position in basketball, three-pointers are key now because we're going from the three-point free throws as the three or four key areas, but there's five key areas in basketball. And we can give you a lesson on that today. The five key areas, is when you're talking about on the offensive side, you have the three-point shooting area. That's real important. You have the what we call the mid-range area. That's above the three-point line, not below the free throw line. Then you have the free throw. These are the ways you can get points, and you're trying to control the game. So those are the three areas that relates to Auburn. But one thing about we'll say about Michigan State, one thing they have in Virginia have, they extend to the other two. The other two is being able to post up low and score, or post up and kick the ball back out for the three. So those are five areas that you must be strong in it. And that way you control the game, and if you're only maxing at three of them, the other two will catch up with you. So we'll check it out. So we said a lot of people asked, will Auburn advance past Virginia? The odds said it won't on Saturday, so we'll kind of see it. And I just mentioned some of the strengths and weaknesses right there. Again, you know, it's five areas. Virginia is functioning in all five areas. Auburn is only functioning in three areas. So if you're a homer, it's okay. Rose-colored glasses is okay, but the truth of the matter, those five areas. So if you ever think about coaching or know about, you got grandchildren or children in basketball, just remember the five areas. Teams that are successful are strong in all five areas. That's being able to shoot the three, mid-range, free throws, post up and kick. Those five areas will lead to you being successful in basketball. Now, on the other side, the defensive side, that's different. We play a defense. We know that, but we're talking about offense now. But we're talking about the strength and the weakness of this game between Auburn and Virginia. Next thing that we have an opportunity, which is a hot topic this week, is University of Kentucky signed John Calipari to a lifetime contract. Now, what do you think about that? You can call in and share your thoughts on those topics I already discussed. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call. Let us know exactly what's going on. That way, we can share your thoughts with us and we look forward to hearing from you. We want to know what you have to say about it. Should the University of Kentucky sign Calipari to a lifetime contract? Now, your question should be, what is this lifetime contract involving? Yes, Coffee said, like, is he going to be a lifetime coach? What exactly is it going to be? Let's kind of get some of the particulars they're dealing with that. We said John Calipari will be a possibility of the coach for the next 4 or 5 years. He will be the coach for the next 4 or 5 years for the University of Kentucky. And then, and just remember that lifespan addition of what he said, 5 years, to give him rather about almost 26, 27 years. And things have changed. Some of the things you do just don't work with the young people now. So you have to make adjustments, and you have to hire younger people. Now they want to start having, and most of the time, that's why our coaches eventually have to retire. The game run past him. They said the game ran by him because he wasn't ready. And I think in 5 years, the game will run past Calipari. And then he could begin to do the other part of that lifetime contract, which would be an ambassador for the university. So you kind of see that situation going on. So we'll keep our, a lot of our coaches that are successful in the Blue Blood program. You say, what's the Blue Blood program? Your program like in basketball, Kentucky, Kansas, Michigan, Duke, North Carolina, those are Blue Blood programs. Those are programs that are always going to be in there no matter what you say. They're going to be somewhere in the tournament and somewhere in the Sweet 16 or the Sweet 8 or sometime in the Final Four. So that's one of the things we're going to look at. A lifetime contract, we did share some thoughts about it. Lifetime contract of John Calipari of University of Kentucky. Some say he should have received it. Because just remember one thing before we leave this topic. A lot of coaches signed extension. A lot of coaches signed contracts for a period of time. But it's a proven fact that if you're not meeting your goal, what you set, and the goal of what the school is looking for, that contract could be bought out and you could be fired. So even if he has his lifetime contract, that said we want you for the rest of the time, but if he decides start next 2 or 3 years, which we never will expect out of Calipari because we're always going to keep some outstanding athletes on the floor. He'll be able to compete. That he turn around and don't have a season or two. They're only going to remember what happened then. They don't care what happened when you won the championship in 2020. They're not going to care about that because now you're talking about 2022, 10 years later, they really don't care. So what they're going to do, they're going to buy you out and get you out of there. So any contract could be bought out. No matter how much it is. So just keep it in your coach's contract and we're going out. All right, we're going to look at the draft that's coming up with the NBA draft. The NBA draft that's coming up, we know Zion Williams will be the number one player. Now, I have some questions. Now, you may have some thought about this. Call in and let me know exactly how you feel about this. Some believe that John Morant and his J.A. John Morant have moved past. Because they said if Phoenix Suns end up getting the lottery pick, number one, they will select John Morant because they need a guard. If New York Knicks get the first pick, Zion wins. So we'll kind of see how that lottery goes. We'll see what the Phoenix Suns feel. But they, just think about it. They got Andre Ayton. They're not going to add that type of player to it. That they want somewhere they can be helped, and they need some help down in Phoenix Suns. So John Morant may be the player, number one player drafted. When we think he's going to be Zion Williams. Talking here, the Department of Custer said that's how it's going to be, but the bottom line, it may not be like that. So we look forward to kind of keeping eyes on the draft to see exactly on Zion Williams. Now, the question is who will be the second player? Now, we said the second player, and I just talked about either is Morant going to be the first player, Zion will be the second player. Is Zion Williams going to be the first player, Morant going to be the second player. R.J. Barrett will be the third player. That's the second. Cam Reddish going to be fourth or fifth. He's going to be in the top five or six. And Trey Jones, he'll be in the top 10. So that's how we're looking at the draft coming up. So four of those players that came there to play together, probably will go to the draft and see what they can do in the NBA. So we'll look forward to seeing that. So, again, the second player, most likely, the Phoenix Sun get the first pick. They're selecting them. So everybody said, we need to get Zion. They have to meet their need. They're going to draft Jay Morant. Some people say Josh Morant. John Morant is not J-O-N, it's J-A Morant. So keep that in mind. Just understand that he could be the first player draft, Zion second. If the New York Knicks get it or anybody else, they're going to go after Zion Williamson. But being the lottery, keep in mind, it's not like the old lottery, but you might be in the top. The Lakers might be in the top five pick themselves because of the way they played this year, where they performed. So that's one of the things you had to kind of look at and keep in mind. You have to keep in mind. All right, we're going to look at another topic, and that's dealing with the NFL. We're going to look at Kyler Murray. Will he be the number one player drafted? You notice Arizona had worked him out. Everybody said Cliff Kingsbury is going to select him because they were going to get rid of Josh Rosen, trade him up, and all that. But I understand Josh is going to the first day of workouts and getting ready. That don't mean anything. I personally believe that the Raiders are willing to give up a couple of the more draft choices they got to try to get him there. So that's going to be something you got to consider. And if that happened, then wherever Arizona trade and fall to, they still be going after quarterback. They'll be still going after quarterback. Now, who they're going for, we're not sure. We know that there's a possibility they will be getting a quarterback. So we'll keep an eye on the draft and see how that goes. Kyler Murray might not go first. You heard it here. You had to agree with it, but you heard it. It's possible he may not be able to go. Sorry about that. All right, let's look at a statement that was made by several of the coaches, and that was, are college basketball coaches scared to really coach today's player? That's something coming through. Are they really scared to coach? Are the college basketball coaches scared to really coach today's players? If you're a coach now, you kind of know what's going on, what's happening. That's a different way you got to approach young people now. Yeah, you can go back how it was 40, 50 years ago, 30, 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. Children are being raised different. That's why when things happen, there's always somebody bringing the information out through Twitter, any social media that talks about what that coach, how they treated that player. And it's a challenge now. This one, you got to have some sense of discipline if you want to be successful. But you had to put a player in a position where you had to realize, if this is what I want to do, then if this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to do what it takes to be disciplined enough to be self-disciplined, first of all, to be able to be successful. So the question is, are coaches now really scared to coach today's basketball players? And there is a challenge, and that challenge is forcing a lot of coaches to think about getting as much money as possible to coach these players, whether on college level, whether it's on the high school level or professional level. Get as much money, because you know you may not be there after 3 or 4 years, because these players are not coming at the level they need to come in. They're not great at the college, at the high school level. When they get to college, some of them are developed. They put these super teams together. Now you got to reteach. Then a student already, a player always realized that he think he's going to the pros, but remember that change of the rule in 21-22, where a player can go straight out of high school to move the age back from how we want to call it, from 19 to either 18 or 17, and the player have a chance. So our coaches really scared to coach their players now. And it is something you have to consider if you go into coaching, how you want to handle your program. And a lot of the college coaches are not able to coach the players like they once did. Time can pass by you pretty fast. First of all, you're not going to coach them if you're swinging, because there's no way you can function in an authoritarian position and call that person who's a subordinate to you a swinging, especially a child. you know, even after that, those rims. So that's one of the things we're dealing with in the 2020s that are coming up. 20s we're going to be coming. It's 2019. In about 8 or 9 months, you're going to be looking at 2020. Then it'll be the 2020s. So we kind of get used to that, saying that as we get ready for it, and the players are going to be totally different. And reach plateaus they never reached in the earlier years. And when they come, they already believe they're a superstar. So can you coach that player? So are they really scared? Are the coaches now really scared? If they're scared now, how will it be in 5 years, 2 years, 3 years? So that's something we want you to share your thoughts on. You can call in 347-857-4192 and just share your thoughts. Press 1, identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I'll just ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right, we're going to look at some professional ball. We know we're at the 6:36 hour. We try to go by 6:45 and push it on to about 6:50. Then we do our promo closing out from 6:50 to 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. All right, the Cleveland is dealing with pro football. Are the Cleveland Browns a super team with the addition of the all-pro players Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, who was already there, Baker Mayfield last year, Joko at tight end. You have several other players that's added to that. So the question is, would you consider Cleveland a super team? And do we see that super team winning the AFC championship to go to the Super Bowl? Some odds are out there 15-1. That they'll go to the Super Bowl. And a lot of people just don't believe it because their team hadn't played together. And yes, they won 7 games last year, but now we got 1 year of film on you, Baker. We know how we want defense. We know how we want to put the pressure on you. And these individuals are paid to study you like a book, paid millions and millions of dollars. So we're looking to see how that's going to be successful, even from a quarterback point of view. So we'll look forward to it. So some people believe, talking heads believe they're a super team with the addition of all-star players. Some believe that, yes, they're there, but they have a collection of players. That don't mean Pittsburgh had a collection of players. They had a collection of players, and look how they became dysfunctional. But that just didn't start last year. That was leading up from the previous year because, you know, even with Bell, trying to get his contract. It had started in 2018 and 2019. It started in 2017. Really started in 2016 when he was asked to sign his franchise tag. We're going to have some things like this that occur. Can they capable of handling this? And we'll kind of see whether or not they would be considered a super team. Again, to the expectation. There's a question about the expectation. Our expectation for the Browns too high in 2019? My point of view, yes. You know, they won 7 games last year and fired the coach after the first 4 games. And now your offensive coordinator is the head coach, rookie head coach, no experience as being a head coach. You got a group of players that you have put together, have never played together. If it was in college, that has nothing to do with the professional rank. You have the egos that any professional player have. All of this you have to deal with. So expectations are too high. And it came from Talking Sports Plus, Balling with the Doc, Dr. Smith. Let's look at the Lakers. The Lakers got 3 more games to go. In them 3 games, they'll probably get blown out the next 3 games. What will LeBron and the Lakers do in the offseason? This will be the first time LeBron haven't been in the playoffs since he probably come into the league. So what we look forward for him to do is, as he said, he's going to recruit those top-tier players to come to the Lakers. But there's so many things being said negative about LeBron and the Lakers and Magic and Plinko and all of them and Jeannie Buss that – an all-star player may not want to go there because it seems to be a dysfunctional thing. It's so amazing. I have kind of watched things that happen. LeBron State is going there. Everybody's just excited. A lot of your talking heads and pundits, and all of a sudden now they're talking obvious. Even A. Smith talking, you know, just don't believe. Even the Clippers, the better team in L.A., you know, just because this was a experiment with some of the players they brought there. Now, and I'm trying to see what other players are going to bring in. I think there's a lot going on there that a lot of behind closed doors we really don't really understand. I think the coach lacked the ability to coach that team. We can say what we want. He might be a good coach, but he needs to be a great coach to be able to coach that team. Because you got to deal with LeBron, and LeBron is going to kind of do it the way he feels because he knows the game very well. He has that PhD in basketball, knowledge of basketball. So we got to understand that now. And the next coaches come to the Lakers, so there will be a new coach. And that coach will have an opportunity to get everybody on the same page, but also be a part of getting that next player to add to LeBron. Now, I thought maybe if we can't get the top-tier player, the Kevin Durant, the Klay Thompson, the Kyrie Irving, and all those players, Kawhi Leonard, you may need to consider putting some players that are going to hit the right spot. Now, that means giving up some of those players that's there. I still think the trade with Anthony Davis is still a possibility. I think that those players that they're looking at, Ingram, Ball, and Kuzma, possibility one or two of them will be gone from the Lakers next year. And I think to get that second tier of all-star players that are free agents, my selection, and I said it, they need somebody in the paint that's tough, really tough. Set the tone for you. You may not agree with me, but you have an opportunity to call here and share your thoughts on this. Draymond Green. I think Draymond should be one of the players that should be courted over to the Lakers. He give you that physicality. He give you that toughness that they definitely lack this year. That'll help McGee, and they'll help the other players there. Also, I believe that they should look at, if we're talking about the second tier, I think they should really consider Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is going to give you that off guard, going to give you that shooter, that three-point shooter you need. That in the process, you're trying to keep Kuzma, too. If you keep Kuzma, you're in good shape. The other two can go. And then last player I think that would love to be in L.A., coming from the Memphis Grizzlies, and that's Michael Conley. He's going to give you the 3 points. He's going to give you mid-range. He's going to give you a hard drive. I think if they had that team right there and with the ideal of eventually getting Anthony Davis, they would be competitive. Now, something else had to happen for them to slip through and win with those players. It had to be where Kevin Durant leaves and go to somewhere else, and Draymond Green lead and go to the Lakers. That team will be changed. We already know Boogie Cousins not going to be there because they're not going to pick up his contract. He's not going to be there because he's going to really feel really here. Let's consider looking at that. We're going to talk, let you share your thoughts. We want you to call in so you can share with them. I'll let you have an opportunity to share your thoughts on there. Call in numbers 347-857-4192. And if you want to send me some important information through on Facebook, do that, DM me if you want to. And if you want to go to Instagram, you can also send me a message. I do appreciate you joining us. We want to look at one more thing, and that's closing out the show. And then we get ready because we have 6:44, closing the show out. We want to kind of talk about who would win the NBA MVP in 2019. Between Giannis and Hart, you have your choice. Let us know. Call in. Hit me up on Facebook and let me know who you select. My pick is Giannis of Emil Walker. He's going to be the one that win this thing because his performance kind of capped it off last night against MB, 45 points, and 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 blocks, 5 assists. That was an awesome night, but he's been doing it all year. And he is on the best team. So That's one thing we need to do. So we're going to close this show out by saying Honest is going to win it. Atatola, he's going to win it. So we look forward to seeing whether or not we are right when we get to the MVP selection. It will be coming up in a couple of weeks because we'll be getting ready to go into that playoff, which will be, we got next week coming up is the last week of the season. And they'll be getting ready for the playoffs. So we look forward to it. We'll talk about that next week. Well, actually, in 2 weeks, as well as on our Talking Sports Plus, we'll talk about the playoffs. All right, we're at the end of the hour. And I said the end of the hour, even though it's 6:45, we got to do our closing of our show now. I have to make sure I give a holler out to all the individuals that's joining me, whether they're sending me a message through Messenger or whether they're Instagram, they're waving at me, and I'm waving back at them. If I can wave it, oh, they won't. Waving back at them, I appreciate them joining me. I got to make sure I give them that shout out like I normally do. But I always start with my group at Facebook. I do thank y'all because see how important time is. You had some things you could have been doing at this hour. It's 7 o'clock, 7:46, where you're on the East Coast, and it's 5:46 in your Mountain Time, and 4:46 on your Pacific Time. And I want to thank each and every one of those. And again, I want to call out, and I might shout out a little information about you if I hit it right. You know, just getting a thumbs up, or hit the like button, hit the like button right quick. We have Kristen Barrows. I thank you for joining us. Sandra Drayton. Sandra, how you doing? You know, up in New York, and I do appreciate you joining us. You had already sent a like to it. I do appreciate it. Calvin Johnson, one of my frat brothers. Thank you, Calvin, of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. I thank you. Antonio Washington. Antonio, thank you. Another one of my frat brothers. I do appreciate you taking time supporting the brother. Dana Beiser. Dana is one of the sisters of Zeta Phi Beta, my sister of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So, Dana, I appreciate it. I see you're real strong. You're doing an awesome job in your Zumba class. I'll be checking you out on Facebook. Keep on grinding, Dana. Holler at me when you get a chance. Tabitha McKinley, thank you very much for joining us, Tabitha. Last but not least, we don't have many today. We have a couple of them on the channel that did not. They sent me a thumbs up saying they're liking the show, and I'll make sure I give a holler to them. Preacher Man, Preaching in for Him. Michael Clemens, one of my ball players. He joins on the Wednesday night show, and I appreciate it, Michael. Join us on the Tuesday night show. I appreciate it, Michael. Michael played basketball for me at McKenzie School, McKenzie High School, and man, I really appreciate you joining. I appreciate the support with me and checking out on Facebook. I do appreciate it. I need to get that invitation to come down so I can hear you preach, Michael. Send me an invitation. And I'm looking forward to coming down on Sunday down there in Evergreen. And last but not least, I mentioned and said, make sure I don't have anybody. I don't have people adding on all of a sudden. Anthony Rudolph, one of my football players down at McKenzie. So I appreciate what my McKenzie people is on here. These young men that I coached and taught history to them, and it was exciting. I got started off in my career, my coaching career, my teaching career, and these young men were there. I coached them, and it was so exciting to learn them, and they learned me. And now we're talking about, in some cases, 30 years later, these people are these good people. I feel close to. I feel like it's just like, you know, my son. They are now joining me and supporting me on this venture, which is dealing with this information series of sports, relationships, life issues, economics, finance. We're talking about all of that. And that's Anthony, played football for me and basketball down at McKenzie School. So I appreciate for those individuals on. We also have just giving them likes, and I appreciate them likes. We have this Zara Humphrey. Thank you for joining us by saying you like the show. Stacy Thomas, another one of my proud sisters of Zeta Phi Beta sorority. And then she's an attorney out in South Alabama. Down in South Alabama, that's attorney Stacy Thomas. Appreciate you joining. I hate I missed you yesterday with all the blue and white on the Capitol. Appreciated you for liking the show. And also over on Instagram, I want to make sure I holler at another one of my Sarah's dear, dear special friend, Sarah. And I appreciate you joining me. And that's Zeta Kitty 05. Crystal. Thank you, Crystal. I'll surround the Atlanta area. Thank you for joining me, and I really appreciate the support. You know what? It's always good to be able to come before you using these different vehicles to share important information. We are the number one informational source dealing with sports, especially historical black colleges and universities, life issues, talking real to you, relationships, the Dr. Lowe Show, and Balling with the Doc. That's how we come to you. But let me share how you can make sure you be a part of the show. On Monday night, we're going to have Talking Real to You at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. I am the host for the show. My co-hosts are Lauren D. Smith, and Al Brand is the only father and daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. I don't want to say the world, but I'll say in the country. But we expand in other countries in the world. So we will say the only father and daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. And we come to you 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Monday night. And our call-in number, and I'll call it out, and it's for all our shows, 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link, www.blogtalkradio.com, the Smith Way Production. On every other Tuesday, we have our Dr. Lowe Show, the Dr. Lowe Show. It's a real relationship talk show because I am the real relationship guru with no limits. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. So we enjoy coming to you on 7 o'clock on every other Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Same call-in number and also blog web name. On Wednesday, we have our every Wednesday Talking Sports Plus with a preview show at 7 o'clock. That's got on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Periscope. We come to you at 7 o'clock with a preview show. Then at 8 o'clock, we have our Blog Talk Radio show. We'll do that. Blog Talk Radio, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You can hit that, click on that, and you can get the show. You can listen to the show, or you can listen to our other on-demand show. We also do Anchor podcasts as well. So we really enjoy that. Then on Friday, Balling with the Doc, that's where we are today. And it won't be every other Friday, so it won't be next Friday unless I'm in a meeting. I go to a conference next Friday and might decide to still do the show because I can get some of those people that's in the conference to be a part of. It's awesome to have a chance to come to you. It's indeed a pleasure. I'm so happy God blessed me with this opportunity to be able to come to you and share some thoughts about exactly what's happening in our world. And we're so happy to also be able to be heard in many countries. And some people say, tell us our country. We are heard in the United States, as you know. A large population of individuals listen to us in the United States. We're also heard in Canada. We're also heard in Greece, Uganda, Zambia, United Kingdom, Norway. We have been heard at Dubai. Those are some places that we are in the country. We're so proud to be getting those listeners there. We're always getting them. I'm getting people that call up from these countries, texting me, hitting me on DM me on Facebook, in these various places trying to get there. He was trying to just say, do you help produce this? Do you help do this? Can you help? And our production company does that. We do work to make our individuals give them opportunities to be successful through the production company. So check us out. That's a Smith Way Production. You can go to Smith Way Production at mail.com if you want to just talk with us, share some things with you, send us some live videos, or send us some you recorded music, whatever you want to do, send it to us. You also work with producers, help people produce shows. We help people also, we're ghostwriters. We take time to write out the various things dealing with truly with a book. If you want to write a book, we can help you with your dissertation, your thesis, all we're here. Check out my Facebook page, which is drldialbertosmith at facebook.com. Again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's time for us to get ready to wrap this up. And we want to make sure we play some music that really get us pumped up, because we're happy we're able to be considered to, I lost a spot on him.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Number one.
Back again. Luda. Feel it. Gets meaner and meaner each time, baby. Feeling real good, too. What up, Uncle Faith? Yeah. I'm a bull in this industry, man. Some would rather run down and get one cow. I think I'd rather walk down and get them all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look, I'm never going nowhere, so don't try me. My music sticks in fans' veins like an ivy. Flows poison like ivy. Oh, they grimy. Already offers on my sixth album for labels trying to sign me. Respected highly. Hi, Mr. O'Reilly. Hope all is well. Kiss the plaintiff and the wifey. Drove through the window. The industry supersized me. Now the girls see me in the rivers. What they cry me. I'm on the rise. So many people despise me. Got party ammunition for those trying to surprise me. It's a celebration and everyone should invite me. Roll with the crew or meet the bottom of our Nikes. Explorer like Dora. These swipers can't swipe me. My whole aura so mean in my white tee. Nobody light-skinned rapping harder than Ice-T. You disagree, take the Tyson approach and bite me.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub.
Uh-uh.
But I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Woo.
Hey, keep it going, it won't stop.
What you doing, man? I'm hotter than Nevada. Ready to break the steering column on your Impala. If I get caught, bail out Popo, I tell him holla. In court, I never show up like Austin Powers, Faja. Father, father, and hey, I love gold. But can buy anything I want from the records I'm sold. Jacuzzi hot, crystal is so cold. Neighbors catch contact from the blunts that I roll. A pig and a flake and a smoke and a pancake. Drop albums nonstop once a year for my fans' sake. I crush mics until my hand breaks. Then shag now and shag later till these women can't stand straight. The Ludermeister got them feeling so randy. I'm double XL, so I call them my eye candy. Brush my shoulder and I pop my collar, cause I'm worth a million, gazillion for $1 billion.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub.
Uh-uh.
But I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Woo.
Hey, keep it going, it won't stop.
What you doing, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Causing lyrics.
lyrical disaster. This a master. Make music for mini me's, models, and fat bastards. These women trying to get me out my pelly pelly. They strip off my clothes and tell me, get in my belly. Stay on the track, hit the ground running like Flojo. Sit back in time and I never lost my mojo. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Ludacris sent down to take over the whole world.